Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, What We Read and Why by Warren Fernandez is a nonfiction book about reading, media literacy, and the struggle to think clearly in an age of overload. Published by World Scientific, it draws on Fernandez's long career in journalism and public life, including senior editorial leadership roles, to examine why reading still matters when people are surrounded by constant digital content. The book is presented as a guide for readers, trying to make sense of a fast-changing world shaped by misinformation, distraction, and social division. It combines the author's personal reflections on books that shaped his thinking with perspectives from leaders, educators, parents, and students on the value of reading. Rather than treating reading as a private hobby alone, the book frames it as a practical civic and intellectual skill. Its purpose is to help readers become more deliberate, critical, and informed, so they can better judge what they encounter and respond more thoughtfully to contemporary challenges. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, reading is a way to make sense of information overload, a central concern of What We Read. And why is the sheer volume of information now pressing in on people from every direction? News updates, social media feeds, videos, and commentary arrive constantly, making it harder to separate what matters from what merely demands attention. Fernandez positions reading as a disciplined response to this environment. Instead of drifting through fragments of content, readers are encouraged to slow down, follow arguments, absorb context, and build understanding over time. This is one of the book's strongest contemporary themes because it treats reading not as nostalgia, but as a practical method for coping with modern complexity. The book suggests that sustained reading helps people resist confusion and superficiality by giving them a framework for interpreting events and ideas. In that sense, reading becomes a form of mental organization. It allows readers to move beyond reaction and toward reflection. The book's appeal lies partly in how directly it addresses a widely felt problem. Many people have access to more information than ever, yet still struggle to feel genuinely informed. Fernandez argues that serious reading remains one of the best tools for restoring clarity. Secondly, distinguishing fact from fiction in a distorted media environment. Another major topic is the difficulty of telling truth from falsehood in a media landscape filled with misleading material. Public descriptions of the book emphasize fake news, deceptive videos, and unreliable online content, placing media literacy near the heart of its message. Fernandez's journalism background gives this subject particular weight. He writes from experience in newsrooms and editorial leadership, where questions of credibility, verification, and public trust are central. The book therefore approaches reading as more than consumption. It is a form of evaluation. Readers must not only take in information, but also ask where it comes from, how it is framed, and whether it deserves belief. This theme makes the book especially relevant in a time of deepfakes, online manipulation, and political polarization. The value of reading here lies in developing habits of scrutiny and judgment. Long-form reading can train attention, patience, and comparison, all of which are essential when confronting doubtful claims. Fernandez appears to connect these habits to democratic life as well as personal understanding. If citizens cannot read carefully or assess sources, public debate weakens. The book's treatment of reading, therefore, extends into the broader question of how informed societies preserve reasoned discussion under pressure. Thirdly, how books shape thinking, work, and leadership, what we read, and why also explores the formative power of books in an individual life. Public materials about the book note that Fernandez reflects on works that influenced how he thinks, works, and leads. This personal dimension helps distinguish the book from a purely abstract argument for literacy. It presents reading as a force that can shape judgment, values, ambition, and professional conduct over many years. By connecting childhood and adult reading to a career that moved from reporting to major leadership roles, Fernandez shows that books do not merely entertain or inform in isolation. They can contribute to a person's intellectual habits and decision-making style. This is likely why the book includes references to a range of literary and serious reading experiences, rather than reducing reading to one genre or one educational purpose. The larger point is that reading can help people develop depth, perspective, and imagination, all of which matter in leadership. Leaders need context, empathy, and the ability to think beyond immediate pressures. Books can nurture those capacities gradually. The theme is persuasive because it links reading to real-world responsibility. Fernandez argues, in effect, that what people read influences not just what they know, but how they act in positions of influence and service. Fourthly, reading as a shared social and civic practice. The book is not limited to one author's reading life. Available descriptions indicate that it brings in the voices of business, community, and political leaders, along with parents, teachers, and students. This broadens the argument by showing that reading has meaning across generations and social roles. It is not reserved for literary specialists or academic audiences. Instead, Fernandez treats reading as a common resource that supports family life, education, citizenship, and public culture. That inclusive framing is important. It suggests that the benefits of reading are not only private pleasures such as enjoyment or self-improvement, though those matter too. Reading also creates a shared foundation for discussion, understanding, and participation in society. When people read more seriously, they may become better equipped to listen, debate, and engage with others across differences. This theme becomes especially powerful in the context of social fragmentation and polarization. A reading culture can strengthen the habits needed for coexistence, including attentiveness, openness to complexity, and respect for evidence. By featuring diverse contributors, the book appears to argue that reading should be seen as a collective good. It helps communities pass on values, deepen conversation, and prepare younger readers for a world that demands both discernment and resilience. Lastly, the continuing importance of reading in the age of AI and digital distraction. Fernandez's wider public commentary around the book stresses that reading is becoming more crucial, not less, in an era shaped by artificial intelligence and digital acceleration. That idea gives the book timely relevance. New technologies can increase access to information, but they can also intensify confusion, shorten attention spans, and make persuasive falsehoods easier to spread. Within that setting, reading stands out as a stabilizing practice. It encourages sustained concentration and deeper engagement with ideas, qualities that are often undermined by rapid scrolling and algorithmic content streams. The book appears to argue that reading remains a foundational life skill because it supports independent judgment. People who read carefully are better prepared to question machine-generated summaries, viral claims, or emotionally charged narratives. They're also more likely to maintain an inner framework for thinking that is not entirely shaped by platforms. This topic helps place the book within current debates about education, technology, and civic competence. Rather than rejecting innovation, Fernandez emphasizes the enduring human capacities that reading strengthens. His point is not that older habits should simply be preserved for sentimental reasons. It is that a society facing increasingly powerful tools and increasingly complex problems needs readers who can think slowly, critically, and with perspective. In conclusion, what we read and why will be most valuable to readers who feel overwhelmed by the speed and noise of contemporary life and want a clearer account of why reading still matters. It should appeal to educators, parents, students, journalists, leaders, and general readers interested in media literacy, civic culture, and intellectual self-discipline. Its practical benefit lies in reframing reading as an active skill rather than a passive pastime. Fernandez presents reading as a way to improve judgment, deepen understanding, and resist the distortions of misinformation and distraction. Intellectually, the book offers a persuasive case that books help shape not only individual character, but also the quality of public life. What makes it stand out within its category is its combination of personal reflection, professional authority, and broad social relevance. Many books celebrate reading as a source of pleasure or private growth. This one places equal emphasis on reading as a tool for navigating digital confusion and maintaining a thoughtful society. Because the author writes from long experience in journalism and leadership, the argument carries credibility without becoming narrowly technical. The result is a book that speaks to current anxieties while defending an enduring human practice with seriousness, accessibility, and practical urgency. If you would like to support Warren Fernandez, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.